Okay, you're listening to the Friday Morning After. I'm Joe Broadhurst, and I am pleased to be joined on the phone with Sid. Is it Lacombe?
Lacombe.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
And we are going to be discussing what is going on in Afghanistan and Iraq as far as Canadian companies being involved in contracts over there. And one of the reasons that I had was surfing the internet just looking for information, and I ran across a press release for Heritage Oil, who is a company out of Calgary. And I was very intrigued by this. On top of the press release, it says, "This press release is not for distribution to the United States or dissemination in the United States." And I just think it's very interesting because Canadian companies are involved in Afghanistan. They are involved in they're slowly getting involved in Iraq, or maybe they have been before. Can you walk us through a little bit of what some of the research that you've done and found out? Let's start in Afghanistan, because you've done a lot of research in Afghanistan. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on? Sid Lacombe is with the Canadian Peace Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you start off and tell us a little bit about the Canadian Peace Alliance, and then we'll start with
Sure. The Canadian Peace Alliance, it's Canada's largest sort of umbrella group of anti-war organizations. We've got 140 member groups across the country, from Vancouver to Halifax to Whitehorse to, you know, all points in between. And we have been organizing anti-war activity for about 20 years, actually. The CPA worked a lot on nuclear disarmament campaigns and is now involved heavily, obviously, in the campaigns against the war in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Okay, and it's a group collective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So let's start talking about Afghanistan. Sure. Are we talking mostly about oil that Canadian companies are involved with over there, as far as pipelines and stuff like that?
Well, it's what most directly links to the Canadian intervention there, and calls directly into question the real motives as to why Canadian soldiers are on the ground in Afghanistan. It's less about oil in Afghanistan. What the real situation is that the United States has been lobbying for a couple of, well, for since the end collapse of the Soviet Union, for the development of a thing called the Trans-Afghan Pipeline. Now, this is various U.S. corporations, including Unocal, Dick Cheney's company, that type of thing. They've been lobbying for this pipeline to be built, because it's what they're trying to do is they're trying to tap into the oil and gas reserves in the Caspian Sea Basin. And
is it mostly Kazakhstan and places like that?
Yeah, Kazakhstan, Turkmenistan primarily.
Okay.
Are the two places where we're seeing the largest amounts. Not as much of oil, but they have massive gas reserves, natural gas reserves. Canadian corporations, of course, are well versed in how to get gas out of the ground and how to get it transported. The main issue for the United States over the last little while has been that the only routes for the for any sort of pipeline to remove oil and gas from the Caspian region, there's sort of three options. It can either go through China, which is a competitor of the United States, Russia, who certainly is not selling it to the U.S., but in fact needs the oil and gas themselves, or it can go through Iran, which of course is an enemy of the United States. So the only other option for a pipeline to get the gas out of the Caspian area is through Afghanistan, which then is, you know, brings us back to the reason why Canadian soldiers are there in the first place.
Wow. That pipeline, they've been working forever to get that in, right?
Yep. The Trans-Afghan Pipeline, the original proposals for it came from under the Clinton administration. Again, this is what it is the collapse of the Soviet Union meant that entire sort of set of the breakaway republics, as they're often called throughout Central Asia, became independent. Those republics decided that they wanted to start selling their oil to someone other than the Russians, because the Russians had been buying it from them for about half the price that it was actually worth. So the U.S. has actually been working quite hard since that time to try to get this pipeline deal built. And in fact, it's the reason why the United States supported the Taliban in the beginning. They're hoping that the Taliban was going to be able to bring the stability to Afghanistan required for the pipeline to be built. Of course, it didn't work out that way, and things are much messier there now. But the U.S. they have no qualms about supporting whatever horrible regime happens to be in the area, as long as they can get this pipeline built.
And it's amazing to me the power that these pipelines hold.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw a couple weeks ago, threatened people threatening to cut off pipelines to Europe, and all of a sudden everybody's, you know, losing their minds. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? So these pipelines, not only do they are they economically powerful, but they're just power in general politically. They hold a lot of power.
Yes, oil and gas is absolutely got a, you know, and oil and gas corporations therefore have an incredible amount of power on the political situation.
And can you tell us about some of the companies that are involved with this?
Well, there's quite a few Canadian companies. Now, most of the deals that have been done, again, have been through Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan primarily. But what we've seen is, over the course of the last 2.5 years, sort of roughly, a whole series of Canadian corporations signing major deals. We've got Buried Hill Energy has just signed a deal worth $42 million for to set up essentially the gas pumps to get the natural gas out of the Caspian Sea region. There's a company called Petro Kazakhstan, which interestingly enough was a Calgary-based oil firm as well, which signed a major deal for distribution of Caspian Sea oil before it was bought out by a major oil concern in China, to the tune of $5 billion, which is quite astounding. But the thing I think that was most striking for us when we started doing our research on this, I mean, there's Canadian corporations who have been complicit in a number of the sort of aspects of the war on terror. We know that there's Canadian corporations who have been making money off of the occupation of Iraq as well. But the thing that was most striking to us when we started doing this research is the person who was over in Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan signing the deals for the Canadian corporations was none other than our former Prime Minister, Jean Chrétien.
Really?
Yes, who was brought in as a consultant for Buried Hill Energy and for a series of other oil and gas concerns, primarily based in the West in Canada here. And he is the person who makes sure that the doors are open, right? He makes sure that the meetings, actually happen, that you're meeting with the president of the country rather than just a couple of lowly executives and that type of thing, and make sure that the deals are actually inked. We have no idea exactly how much money Chrétien himself is making off this, but I mean, at the very least, this constitutes a major conflict of interest. This is a guy who sent Canadian soldiers into Afghanistan in the first place, and he's now turning around and making billions of dollars for various Canadian corporations based on the fact that they need the Trans-Afghan pipeline to be built for the oil to flow, and that, of course, will require more soldiers on the ground to enforce the occupation there. So, I mean, it's blatant. It's Canadian imperialism at its worst.
And from your research, has Canada been in on it from the beginning?
I mean, yeah, quite clearly Canada has been involved. And in fact, Canadian corporations were involved in the initial discussions with some of the regimes in the various breakaway countries around the development of the Trans-Afghan pipeline. We've had people involved for decades as well. Canadian corporations are always generally fairly quickly behind our American corporate friends down south of the border there to make sure that we get ourselves signed on to some of these deals. But yeah, they've been in right from the beginning.
Okay, I wanted to speak a little bit about Iraq in this heritage oil thing, because it's just what happened was that Heritage Oil in November of 2003 after the invasion. They actually hired a man who his last name is Gulbenkian,
mm-hmm.
and he his family was the first to drill oil in Iraq in the early 1920s,
mm-hmm.
and now we see that Heritage Oil is getting these contracts, these major contracts for these major fields, but we also see on the other side that Iraqis themselves don't have any gas.
Yes, absolutely. It's a pillage.
It's a complete pillage, right? And it's so dangerous over there that I saw a story about this yesterday that actually Iraqis import oil,
yep.
right? And import gas, which is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting on most of the oil in this part of the world, but their imports because of the dangerous situation over there, the imports have gone down from 12 million to 3 million barrels.
Mm-hmm.
So people are standing around and they don't have any gas over there.
Right.
And so Canadian corporations are over there getting all these contracts. People are extracting all this oil, but nothing is happening for the Iraqi people.
Absolutely. And in fact, that was never the intention, right? I mean, the hope was that the United States went into Iraq. We remember this, obviously. It was not based on the lies that they had developed from the beginning. They had an eye on Iraqi oil for quite some time. And one of the first things that, of course, happened was as soon as the Coalition Provisional Authority was put together, is they started opening up contracts immediately for foreign investment in not just oil, in everything, actually. It was very much designed as the fully privatized state, right, in Iraq. And it's a means of making sure that corporations get the spoils of this particular intervention in Iraq, and in particular with the oil. I mean, we're only scratching the surface as far as corporate involvement in Iraqi oil fields. And part of the reason for that is the fact that the oil's not actually flowing in Iraq right now because of the security situation there. And that makes perfect sense. Most of the people in the Iraqi resistance understand full well that if they want to shut down the U.S. and stop their plans from coming to fruition, stop the oil from flowing. But, we're definitely going to see more corporate involvement in particular from Canada and the U.S. in various different oil fields around that area. There's just way too much value in it.
And the new government here in Canada, led by Stephen Harper, is probably going to be on the side of business as far as that's concerned, correct?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, we just did a little bit of research as well on the new defense minister. I don't know if people have heard this, but our new defense minister in Canada is, what's his name, Gordon O'Connor. We didn't actually know who Gordon O'Connor was until he was first announced. Gordon O'Connor is a former brigadier general, but he has also been a corporate lobbyist for a number of years, worked for Hill & Knowlton, which is the notorious PR firm that set up the Citizens for Free Kuwait and made up a whole collection of various lies to try to justify the war, the first Gulf War. He's also been involved with United Defense Industries, which is owned by the Carlyle Group. It's friends of the Bush family, and he's also worked for a subsidiary of Halliburton, which is Dick Cheney's company, of course. This is a guy who is definitely going to be pro big business and pro defense contractors. We know this absolutely, and it's we've got to get the word out and let people know exactly who he is.
We also we saw that a man named Frank McKenna, who was a very interesting man himself,
mm-hmm.
Who was the former ambassador for Canada to the United States, he just resigned and stated his intent on participating in the Liberal Party.
Mm-hmm.
But we also have he's got a background himself, and that includes the same kind of background. He's a former employee of the Carlyle Group. This is a man that golfs with or has golfed with. At least with George Bush Sr. I don't know about George Bush Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Are we starting to see a move that, like a political move like we have in the United States, where it's basically one party? I mean, we're going to be choosing between one Carlyle person and another Carlyle person eventually.
That seems to be the way it's going, and in fact, it's quite striking, the sort of discussions about the current government and people crossing the floor, that doesn't seem to matter which party some of these people are in. They don't seem to it doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Of course, I mean, this has been something that's been ongoing in Canada for quite some time, though. Just to give you another example, Canada released a foreign policy statement last year called "A Role of Pride and Influence in the World," and it was supposed to be Canada's new sort of benchmark. Discussion paper about what our defense is going to be looking like in the context of the war on terror, et cetera, et cetera. This was a document that was absolutely plagiarized from another document that was written a year before by the Canadian Council of Chief Executives that was discussing the North American Security Partnership. The chief executives in Canada and across the board are still wield an incredible amount of influence, and in particular over the incredibly important and increasingly important defense contracts. I mean, we're talking about the amount of money that is actually being sort of thrown around in the United States right now for major, major defense contracts is astounding. One of the best examples being ballistic missile defense, where we were looking at roughly $1.2 trillion American dollars that were going to be put into defense contracts, which is one of the main reasons why Stephen Harper wants to reignite this debate, is because there's an awful lot of Canadian corporations that want to make sure that they're in on the ground floor for that type of, for that type of money.
$1.2 trillion. It's just when they throw those kind of numbers around, you just open your mouth and you don't. What do you do?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you, Sid, for joining us this morning. And your website is www.acp-cpa.ca.
And also take a look on the website, because one of the main things that we're doing is we need to continue to apply pressure to our conservative government. We know that they are going to be, you know, the Liberals were relatively pro-war, but they're going to be even more pro-war if they can. And so to that end, there is going to be a major sort of global day of action against war on March 18th, on the third anniversary of the invasion of Iraq. And we at the Peace Alliance are making it quite clear that our campaign is, yes, we're against the occupation of Iraq, but we're also clearly mobilizing to get Canadian troops out of Afghanistan. So take a look for it March 18th, and you'll find the information on the website.
And that's going to take place in Toronto, or...?
It's everywhere.
Everywhere. It's worldwide.
Another global day of action. The last time we did one, there was hundreds of places, from Baghdad to London to Japan to Montreal. There's probably quite likely to be something in Montreal. We got our friends there in Hochelaga, and they're going to be moving on it, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, I thank you for joining me this morning. I've been speaking with Sid Lacombe from the Canadian Peace Alliance, and good luck with the demonstration on the 18th of March, and I hope some of our listeners will pay attention to that. And please visit www.acp-cpa.ca. Have a good morning.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.